Shalom, everybody. I know that you had some questions. Go ahead, ask me the question. Who had the question? Yes, please. Absolutely. You see, this is the ego that telling me that if I cancel myself, then I am nothing. Just the opposite. As soon as I cancel myself, I am everything. That's the paradox. Now, let me show you, explain myself. If I believe in myself, and I'm making it extremely simple, but this simplicity brings the point home much better than making it complicated. If I believe in my own brain and my capability of brain and my knowledge and my understanding, I never heed to listen to anybody else. I won't accept opinions. I won't go seek opinion. I won't go and ask somebody else, what is your idea? What is your take on this? How do you look at this? I never seek those information. I remain bounded and secluded in my own small world. But as soon as I cancel myself, in a way, quote unquote, canceling is not to destroy myself. Canceling is to suppress my ego and say, wait a minute, go seek the advice. Go and say, I don't know. Go and say, I can't. I'm not able. I'm weak. Accept the fact. That is cancellation. As soon as you accept this fact, as soon as you accept the fact that you lack, that you are not strong, that you don't know it all, that you do need help, it's the beginning of your knowing more. But if you think you know it, I'm not talking you as you, in general, as soon as you think you know it all, you're capable, you're going to make it, you got it, you have it, you've done it, you put an end to it. As soon as you say, I got it, that's the end, finished. As soon as somebody talks to you and you're not ready to listen anymore, you want to answer. The person is talking to you, but at the meantime, you are accumulating all the answers. You're not observing. You are just preparing yourself for explaining. No, your understanding is better. You're not going to add to yourself anything. So I see by canceling myself, I don't reduce. I increase. That's the paradox of life, and this applies in every level of our life. That's how we become new. How I can become new. I'll come to you. How I can become new. Different than what I am right now. Bravo. And learning, that means I have to listen. I have to listen. Listen to me. Not hear me. Listen to me. That means follow. That's only time that I change. And if I want to stay only with my own logic and my level of understanding and wisdom, and I think I know it all and I got it, there's no way I will improve. Yes, please. You said a lot right now. Many subjects.
Done.
I'm glad. Thank you. Are you sure?
Yes.
No.
What did you? Maybe it clicked on and off.
No.
It stopped maybe.
Okay, check me out. My apologies. Now, let me not forget what you said. We should always face our fears. There is a concept called busha. shame. We don't want to feel ashamed. I don't want to get belittled even to myself. I feel embarrassed. I feel belittled because of the busha. Busha is shame. Shame. The energy force of shame. It's a very strong, powerful energy. Now, and we're going to discuss it tonight. I should face my shames. I should face my weaknesses. If there is somebody that I go and ask an opinion, first of all, you used another word, too many opinions. It's not a matter of too many opinions. That is exaggeration. Somebody looks for a cane. Okay, help me. What should I do here? Okay, now, help me here. What I should do? This is, I am not asking opinion. I want somebody to be my cane. Don't pick up a cane. Face, go, look at the problem, seek the weakness, and we're going to find out. Seek the weakness. What is the source of this embarrassment? Why I lack in it? Because as soon as you recognize your lack, that means you recognize the sickness. And the doctor cannot give you any remedies unless the doctor recognizes what is your sickness. So the most important is to recognize where is the cause that I am the cause. Where is the seed? Now, why I feel lack of confidence? Why do I feel lack of confidence? Give me one of the million.
I'm not sure that I do the right thing, or I know the right thing, or I am good enough to make that kind of decision.
But why do you have to come to such a position? What was the cause of it?
You need people to give you approval.
Why do you need somebody to approve you? Bravo. Now, stay right here and let's go to the source of all these problems. I want to take you back all the way to the beginning of the Torah, the beginning of the creation. Where is the source of all these separations and lack of confidence and the ego and the fight that we have in our life? Where are we in the Torah right now? We are in the parasha called Vayechi. The word Vayechi is chai, is life. Yaakov lived 147 years. Out of 147 years, 130 years he was totally in fight and fear and war. Only 17 years of his life. Those 17 years of his life that he went to Egypt, that means he went to Galut, he went out of Eretz Israel, he lived a wonderful life. But 130 years he had the most difficult times one can encounter. He encountered every problem that you and me can ever encounter. Yaakov has gone through. This is the end of the book of Bereshit. That means Bereshit is the seed of the totality. The whole pattern of creation and the cause from the beginning to the end is in the first book. But in totality, in general. The other four books are really expanding on the seed. Look at the seed of any fruit. When you put it under the earth, you get the root. Then you get trunks, then you get branches, then you get the fruit, and right in the middle of the fruit you find the seed again. And that seed is again for another continuity. We are at the end of the seed. That means, okay, what's the conclusion of all this first book? It's Vayechi. And what happens? He says, Vayechi Yaakov ba'aretz Mitzrayim, and Yaakov lived in the country, the country of Mitzrayim. Sheva Esre Shana, and he lived 17 years, 147 years. And Yaakov, one day, comes to his children. Torah says it is the end of life of Jacob. He's a father after all these years. He's dying, and he knows that he's dying. And usually a man that has seen the world, has 12 sons and a daughter, what really a mother and father really wishes? What the father, what Jacob really wants for his children? And Jacob is, Torah says, ten emet le'Yaakov. That means he knows the totality of the truth from the beginning to the end. He knows at the end what's going to happen. He knows the end of the story. And he literally tells to his children, Vayikra Yaakov, and called Jacob El Banav to all his children, Vayomer, and told them, Ha'asefu. Ha'asefu. Gather. Come, gather. For what purpose? Va'agida lachem, I'm going to tell you. Et asher yikra itchem b'acharit hayamim. What's going to happen to you at the end? Would you like to know the end? Can you handle it? The moment that the children came around the father, that's the last moment of the father, and they became one around him. And the Midrash says, the children, they saw that there is a worry in the heart of this father. And they look at the worry, say, what it is? He looked at 12 children, that each one has his own character. Each one has his own mazal. Each one is one sign. There are 12 signs, and each one is different than the other. Okay, I am now, we are in Egypt, and Yosef is a king, and we have money, and we have everything, and everything is hunky-dory. We live in Beverly Hills of Egypt, called Goshen, and everything is nice, and everything is beautiful. What happens in 1,000 years? Are they going to still remember they are Jews and they are brothers? Do you feel the next Jew sitting beside you is your brother or your sister? Do you love him as a brother? Do you love him as a sister? Are you one? Look at the situation of Israel. Are we united? All we think same purpose? Is there jealousy between us? And I would like you to really consider the energy of jealousy, where it came from. Because every one of us, have this energy called jealous. And what is the sickness of jealousy? No matter what, whenever you feel jealous, you immediately feel pain. While you are jealous, you're suffering. As soon as you look at something or you see something or you hear something and it makes you feel jealous, you just have pain. And this pain is not a good pain. Because if you're jealous, you kill, you lie, you cheat. If you have a slightest bone of jealousy in you, there is no way that you will understand what is unification. If you're jealous, how can you be united with someone? And that's a very destructive energy. I like to go back to the beginning. We know that if we go to the Bereshit, the beginning, Second Bereshit, Pasuk Tet Zayin, 16. Ve'yatzav Adonai Elohim, not only the energy of nature, but the Hovaya, the energy of Rachamim, the totality, both of them. Ala Adam Lemor. They came to God and they told Adam, and who is this Adam? This Adam is a structure that God is building. It's called Adam Kadmon. And prototype of an Adam that God thinks this is Adam. He calls him Adam. He's in the process of making a such creature, such a vessel that has and can handle the totality goodness of the holiness, can take the totality of holiness, Kedusha, within itself. And God has made and come to this man, and he tells him, Mikol etz hagan uchal tuchal. Look, I am telling you. I am telling you not only for present, uchal, even the future. I am not telling you only for now. I am telling you from now, continuity to the end. So in a way, God is telling me some remez. Tells to the Adam that you should eat Mikol etzagan uchal tuchal, from all the trees, every goodness that I have created in this Gan Eden, you eat. However, o mi etzedat. But there is a tree called tree of knowledge. Unfortunately, when they talk about this tree of knowledge, they don't continue the sentence. As soon as we reach a tree of knowledge, oh, are you talking about the apple? That's what it is. It's called mi etzedat, and I want to finish the whole sentence and come back. Because it's a whole sentence. You cannot take half the sentence. It's not talking about a tree of knowledge. He's talking about a tree of a knowledge that tov vera, that put good and bad together. There is a knowledge that connects two people, good people together. What's that knowledge? What is a knowledge? Bravo, love. Is this a knowledge? Would you please, we say a lot, I love you, I love you. We hear it from my mother, I hear it from my wife, I hear it from my kids. What it means when I say I love you? Accept you the way you are? I'm a fool. If I say that. Because the way you are, I love you. What is I when I say I love you? That I take you the way you are? That means I don't expect a person to change ever? No? Then I'm really a fool, because if a person doesn't change and stays the way he is or she is, and I'm going to change because I want to change, don't you want to become better? Unless you don't want to change, you don't expect the guy change, so you know, you don't change, I don't change, we stay the way we are and it is fine. Is that going to happen? Is that possible? Because we said, before the marriage, there is a tremendous amount of romance. There's flowers, chocolates, helicopters, trips, everything, jewelry, gold, diamonds. As soon as marriage comes, romance says, la la, goodbye. Adios. No more romance. No more flowers. I'm getting there. But why all this really? Where did it come? So here, God comes to Adam and tells him, look, eat from everything. But I am telling you, there is a tree, it's called tree of knowledge, and you know what this knowledge does to you? You can exactly bound good and bad together. You put good and bad together. Come on, I like. Do you like to mix in your good bad? Do you? Are you ready to mix in your life bad too? Or you want to do everything, every effort to do only good? So Hashem is saying that, look, there is a knowledge that if you eat out of this and you follow this knowledge and you acquire this knowledge is going to bring you to put good and bad, mix it together. And from that tree, don't eat. Okay. Lo tuchal mimenu. Because if you eat from it, ki beyom achalecha mimenu, the day that you're going to eat from it, mut tamut, guaranteed you're gonna die. He says, you know what? If you mix the good and bad into you, the only way that I can separate the bad out of you and you are good, but you mixed the bad into the good, in order to separate the bad from the good, you have to die. The only way that I can really cleanse you out of the bad is to put you to earth, convert your whole body completely back to the earth in order to be able to cleanse you, separate the bad that you mixed into the good. Is there any question here? Because we will know what is this tree that we called it's a da'at.
What is I love you?
If I really explain and define everything, you never will sit down and think. One of my duties is to force you to think and ask a question. Now that you asked the question, you prepared the vessel to receive. Because you kept your mind, so wait a minute, okay, what was it that I love you? You worked for it a little bit. Understand, anything you get for free, dump it. Throw it away. Don't keep it. Because that's etzei da'at tovara. Because you haven't earned it. Because you got it for free. That was easy way out. The shortcut. Look, I don't care. Whichever way. Any mean. As long as I reach my goal. It's me. I want. Ratzon lekabel. It's etzei da'at tovara. When I want to desire to receive for oneself alone. It's eating from etzei da'at tovara. Every time that I satisfy my desire to receive for myself, that means the benefit and the pleasure is mine. Now, what is pleasure? I'm going to get to the ahava. What is pleasure?
Satisfaction.
Of what?
Of your need.
Bravo. As soon as you feel a lack, and that lack is fulfilled and satiated, you enjoy. Where comes this energy of pleasure? From where? You mean the Elohim? Because Elohim is the nature.
The need or the pleasure? The pleasure.
Is it? Is our intention can make pleasure?
It can. I think so.
Just a moment. Let's believe God plays a role here. If God doesn't want me to enjoy, am I going to enjoy even if I stand on my head and do cha-cha?
Enjoy what? Something.
God doesn't want me to enjoy every bit of the pleasure that we enjoy in our life, every spark of this pleasure, is the energy of godliness that I have revealed within me. What is the highest level of pleasure? Isn't it understanding? As soon as you understand, you have achieved the highest level of pleasure. Now, by this understanding, comes from where? The energy of godliness. So God has scattered in food, in many things, what? Displeasure. For seeking the pleasure of seeking God, that is hidden in that pleasure. Follow. Assume that every pleasure that you have in your life, every spark belongs to God. It's the godliness that you reveal within you. Exactly like when you understand something that you don't understand. As soon as you understand it and you say, wow, I got it, you become very happy, you enjoy. That's godly pleasure God gave you for you to, in order to continue. You, if you have a pleasure, you want to do it again. You want to do it again. Do people have only one sex? And once you enjoyed it, why do you want it again? Because you know this has a pleasure. But this is a spark of godliness. Now, on whose account am I enjoying myself? The moment that I take those sparks only for myself, and it's going to end up for myself, and only I enjoy out of it, that's where I have eaten from the Etzet Da'at Tovra. Why Adam went and ate from the tree and listened to the snake? Why? Because he wanted to be like God. Because he says, look, if you eat this, you're going to be like God. You will know like God. You will be God. So what Adam did? Adam looked at God. I said, wow, this guy is powerful. He's God. I can be like him. He felt jealousy. Why a snake came after the Adam? Jealousy. Because he says, here it is, Adam. I was created first. I am an angel. And he's Adam. He's a creature. He gets born by Adam. And he's going to rule me? No way. Became jealous of Adam. Bravo. What was your intention when you went to a movie? To enjoy myself?
Absolutely.
For no other purpose? That's called etzedat. A Jew is the following. Anything that I look, I eat, I touch, I feel, is for purpose of bringing me closer to my source. If I waste a pleasure, a moment of my life, and not observing it in bringing me closer to the conclusion, to my goal, unless I say, you know, I worked very hard. I just want to sit down for a few seconds and release myself in order to be able to do a better job. I want to take a time off for a second. That's necessary to rejuvenate yourself. Then it's not selfish. When I pray only alone. It's between me and my God. It's not selfish. It's a purpose of continuity. But if it is just because I want to enjoy myself, just because I love to have it.
Just
because
I'm hungry and I'm alone. Am I enjoying my meal? Nobody's home and I'm hungry.
Bravo. Now, let's go to the eating. One of the most and biggest pleasure of man is eating. God has put and could have created a system that I would eat once a year. Why God makes me continuously hungry to be able to eat? Because all those spark of pleasures called nitzutzei kedusha, nitzutzei of holiness, a spark of holiness that is scattered all around the earth. And the Jew is to go and look and find spark by eating and elevating this sparks. How? A Jew is the only nation in the whole world that prior eating, he says a bracha, because he doesn't want to be a gazlan. That means he doesn't want to steal it, even though it belongs to his father. He prepares it for a purpose. He eats it for a purpose. He doesn't eat to satiate the body. He eats in order to do the work that he's supposed to do. It's the only nation in the world. And again, after finishing the food, says a bracha. There are two brachas in the Torah given directly from Torah. One, achalta, savata, ubarachta. That means when you eat and when you are satiated, say a bracha. That's given directly in the Torah. And the bracha for Torah. When you want to read Torah, you say a bracha. Both is given in the Torah. Now, the Jew that says the bracha, eating in Judaism is not only to satiate and grow the body at all. The system of eating in Judaism is to give aliyah, to give rise to the sparks that are mixed in good and bad because of the action of Adam in the earth, in the plant, in the animals. When Adam caused kilkul, that means caused good and bad to be mixed by eating the fruit. It did not only bring the good and bad mixed within itself, it brought good and bad to the totality of the creation. Is water is good or bad? It's good and bad. Fire is good or bad? It's good and bad. Everything, because Adam did not listen to God, did not follow the instruction that the Creator gave, went after it. He thought what he wanted, because I think. What do we say? I know this is good for you. I know this is good for me. I know this is the right way to go. This is knowledge. No, that means that. That means eating from the tree of selfishness, of desire to receive for oneself alone. As long as I eat from that tree, I bring situation of mixing good and bad together. Yes, please. Bravo. Bravo. What was the situation? The situation that Adam as an Adam individual was separated from the snake. As soon as it hid and listened and prioritized the word of snake to the word of God. God told him, don't eat. The snake came and gave him a logic. He says, look, he pushed Adam, he pushed the Chava into the tree. And she touched the tree. He says, oh, you see, you didn't die. Look at it, how good it is. You will know the knowledge between good and bad. You will know as much as God will know. You know, God, hide this tree for you. Said, especially don't eat. Because if you eat it, you're going to become like God. Don't you want to become like God? What did you do? He says, well, what he says, this snake says is logical. And the Torah continues, looks at this fruit is delicious. Why God telling me not to eat? It's really good. He went through his own logic. That's etze da'at tovara. Mix the good and bad. If the Adam would have stuck to the idea of what God told him, don't eat from it, and would keep the nachash out of him, the snake. As soon as he became one with the nachash, what did he do with the snake? He brought the snake within himself. Now they were mixed together. As long as it is outside of you, you are in control of yourself. But God forbid you eat the food that is not good for you. Makes you sick. When it is inside you, what are you going to do? You got to fight it. How are you going to separate it? You got to go to a doctor. You got to get rid of it. You got to cut it out. You got to do something. You got to use atomic bomb sometimes on it. If God forbid we got cancer inside, how am I going to get rid of it? It's mixed, good and bad. I am throw an atomic bomb, I kill the good and the bad. Because when I go through the cancer therapy, it's not only killing the bad, you got to kill the good too. That's the situation Adam brought. And within it, brought the energy force of jealousy. Who has not ever experienced, I know when we were kids, so go back to the kids, it's easier. The sense of jealousy. Have you ever desired something that somebody else has you wish that you have it too? Yes? Did you feel jealous? Is anybody doesn't know the feeling of jealousy? Because I can arouse that feeling immediately. It's very easy. Now, how did it start within us? And why there is this element of jealousy? Because in the Capricorn, this energy gets developed very highly. Very highly. That's why they are a material people. They see somebody else has, I want to have it too. And these eyes just sucks me into it. Because the Adam looked with his eyes and looked at the tree. He says, it's good. You know what? I wish to have such a house and such a car and such a bank account and such a situation. I know. This guy has it. He's not even educated. He didn't even learn 12 classes. And look how comfortable he lives. How come? She's not even beautiful. And look what a good husband she got. She doesn't have half brain that I have. How come she's so happy? Where does it come from? Where this comes from? Last week we said that Judah is the seed of the kingship of Israel. And between Yehuda and Ephraim, which is Ephraim, is the son of Yosef, there is a kanaut. There is the aspect of jealousy. Ephraim wants Mashiach ben Yosef to be established in Israel. And Yehuda wants Mashiach ben David. And there is jealousy between it. Look at the state of Israel today. Look at the Jews today. Because, as Jews, anywhere you go in the world, they don't love you. I want you to face a fact. As a Jews, nobody loves us. As a matter of fact, nobody wants us. Just because there is no alternative, they keep us. But we are the same Jews that they came to the beaches of United States of America in Second World War, and they send us back to Cuba. So we don't want you to come here. They never wanted the Jew, and they never loved the Jew. Why? Well, one reason. Jealousy. You go to country of Israel, there is a line. This side, they don't have no oil. As a matter of fact, they don't have even enough water. Practically, they don't have anything. There was a period in Israel that you couldn't eat a chicken. You had 10,000 chicken, but you couldn't eat even one of it. But, you see, there is a country of the plentiness. But they had this country for 2,000 years. Now we understand that when a Jew goes to Eretz Israel, and a Jew goes to the Eretz of Israel that God gave him, and he becomes a nation, then that country becomes fruitful beyond imagination. It's a history that you can look. It's a new history. It's not an old history. We are approximately 60 years we have this country. What we have done with it. That is important to understand what it is to be a Jew. and what is to be, how we are going to build a nation of Jews.
You can say the same thing with the Indians and the Americans.
I am a Jew. Let me understand first who I am and what's my responsibility. Let them take care of the Indian land too. That's their problem. I want to solve my problem. I want to see how can I create a nation of a Jew that fulfills the words of Torah and exists the way the Torah says. And by the way, you know who brought jealousy into this world? Who really gave bad name to jealousy? Who made the jealousy a negative energy? Adam. Israel.
How?
Israel is the source of all these energies in the world. God has given Israel the Torah to establish the Torah, which is the Chokhmah and the wisdom of godliness into this world. A Jew that takes all the energies of the Torah and defines it in this world. In the Torah, we have jealousy. A Jew defines what jealousy is. In Torah, there is killing. Brother sells brother. A Jew sells brother. And Jew brought that. Jew brought the Hamas into this world. Jew. And now we want to understand. And Yaakov, at the end of his life, wants to teach the 12 brothers how you establish the nation of Israel. Very simple. And until we don't establish this nation, not to have one Knesset, everybody fights with everybody. The guy is not dead. They're already dividing his kingship. Who's going to be the king? This energy of jealousy within us is going to destroy us. Now, how do you fight with energy of jealousy? What's the remedy of jealousy? Since all of you have really felt what jealousy is. How you can fight it? Yes?
I must ask a question, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Jealousy is part of knowing, right?
No.
If we don't know anything, we wouldn't be jealous, right?
No.
If we wouldn't have eaten the apple, we wouldn't know anything, we wouldn't understand anything, then we would know that we have to be jealous.
Who told you that?
That
knowledge is the knowledge of mixing bad and good together. Why don't you eat from the Etz HaChaim that can bring good to good? Why do I have to mix, go after a knowledge that mix good and bad together? The lie and the truth together. Why? After the Adam made the mistake, mixed good and bad together in everything. Now everything is mixed, that's why there is death. As soon as you separate the good and bad, and the good and bad are separated, then there won't be death. Because the death was created, and God told him, if you mix good and bad together, if you don't mix good and bad together, there is no death. Death is not necessary. Death is only necessary for purpose of separating good from bad. Separating good from bad, and it's very important to understand this. And then we will understand what Yaakov is doing. Then we understand what love means, why God put jealousy, because what, is God jealous? Yes, His name is jealous. In the 12 midot, 12 characters, 13 midot of Rachamim, of Hashem, the last word of name of Hashem is Kuf Nun Aleph, Kana. He's jealous. Of who? Of me, a Jew. He says, look, Hitzalti Otcha, I saved you. You were Eved. You sold yourself. You went to Egypt. You got stuck in your own desires to receive for oneself alone. You went into the darkness. I saved you. I brought you out. I saved you. I saved your neshama. I cleansed it so you don't remember that you ever were a slave. I gave you my wisdom. I took you as my am. You are my nation. You're not for free. You don't belong to you. You are there to do my work. You are mine. I'm jealous of you. You give your eyes to someone else. I love you too much. I don't want you to give your mind to something else, to another God. And I created the other guy to give you the choice. You make the choice, but I feel jealous if you do it. But he's God. He can't afford to be jealous. Because jealousy has a remedy to get rid of. And until I have this jealousy within me, I am in pain of separation. I don't have no idea what love is. I won't understand love if I have jealousy in me. Every morning, because when Yaakov was on the bed, he looked, we said, and the children was very worried. And the children realized that why Jacob is so worried. So they wanted to give, to assure the father that, Shema Israel, listen Israel. That's his father. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. We are all in our heart one. We are Achim. There is a brotherhood in Judaism. There is Achdut in Judaism. What is Achdut? To be Echad. Now, what is the geometry of Echad? Follow me. Echad It's a good idea to go through this exercise. Echad is 1 plus 8 plus 4 is 13. Ahava means 1 plus 5 plus 2 plus 5, 13. You want to tell me that love means to become one? Brotherhood? What is brotherhood? What it is that I know nobody loves me, only my brother loves me. I want you to think, contemplate it. Because if you, my friends, you are the children of Israel, if you do not understand the Achdut and you do not build the nation of Israel, nobody is going to build it for us. And if we don't have a nation Israel, we don't have nothing. Because no, if I make the atomic bomb, they make 10 times bigger. If I make a faster airplane, they make 10 times faster airplane. That's not going to cut it for me. For past 60 years, didn't cut it. But yet, as soon as Israel came under the pressure and they united and they realized they don't have nobody, they don't have France, they don't have Mirage, they don't have America, they have only themselves, they saw miracle. They saw miracle. This is our age. And it is extremely, and that is the end parasha of this week. Of this book is to tell to the brothers, to the 12 Shevatim, how to build the nation of Israel. Because as soon as they came out of Egypt, God calls them, Hayom Nietem La'am. You became a nation right now. Because you became united together under one flag. And that is the most important work for you and me as a Jew. That's the only way we can establish the work. So he says, okay, if I become, I tell you, Achi, 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 look at you and say, Achi, Achi, and give you a hug and kiss you, Muchi here, Muchi there. Am I done the work? No. Because today I can say I love you and tomorrow I become jealous of you that why you are better than me. Because that's not doing the love. There is another beautiful word in Hebrew called da'aga. What is da'aga? Dalet is 4, plus 1, plus 3, plus 5, is how much? 13. What is daga? Give me more. Bravo. To have enough body to care. To care. What is to care? We are defining ahava. What is to care? Be responsible. Accept responsibility. Go out of your way. You know what? Cancel yourself. Because when you doeg, you care for someone else. You're not thinking about yourself. You're out of yourself. You're not mixed with the good and bad. You came out of it. Because as soon as you are inside you and there is a ratzon lekabel, you are mixed good and bad. Oh, you have some good intention. But in the intention is some ulterior motives mixed into it. So that's not good enough. Come out of yourself. And have daga. Take a responsibility. Take care. If in the marriage life you do not accept the da'aga in it, not because to get the payment at the end is good, just because my duty as a husband is lidog, even if I have fight with my wife, it's irrelevant. But I took the responsibility. I swear on it. Why God created such a situation? If I don't understand the responsibility between me and my wife and my children and the unit at home, how can I accept the marriage with God? How can I bind with God if I cannot bind in the earth level? If on the earth level I don't have no idea what love is. Oh, love, I think it's a box of chocolate. A bouquet of flower. 5-carat F1. That's not a bad idea.
VVS.
That's how it is? That's not love. But if the life is difficult, you know why we are in the period that is so difficult to get married? Look how selfish we are. The husband and the girl. The woman and the boy. And that's the reason that the marriage becomes more and more and more and more and more difficult, because there is no doeg. There is no one cares for the other. It's only who's going to make the best deal.
Love is a pleasure. You went out of love, you met the agar. That's not the same.
Oh, look at it. What a surprise. That's the paradox. You forgot the paradox. You want really to feel the love? We feel, I don't want to say you, the word you is wrong. Scratch my back, I'm going to scratch your back. Let's make a deal. No, love is not like this. I just simply accept the responsibility. That's the only way that I have a true return. That's the paradox. By the more I give without asking anything back, I get more. No, absolutely not. If I die, I cannot really express my love. I want to live forever so I can give forever.
Yeah, but then it's still bad. You said the only way you can have good is to die.
No, that's not what I said. The only way that you can separate the bad that is mixed in good is to die. But when... Okay, I say, you know what? It's a good idea. I die tonight. I'm going to get rid of it. But then I am not around here to learn and add to myself anything. The whole purpose is to stay and accept the responsibility to the aga, to have the aga in my life. All of us, we want to look for a comfort zone. Say, look, find me a nice house. Find me a comfortable house. Get me some workers. Get me some good cars. And just make me comfortable. Then I know you love me. That's foolish. Because the cars and the wealth and the house is not going to bring me ahava. Now, what is canceling yourself? What is canceling myself?
Focus on yourself.
Do not take my knowledge, my da'at, which is only has an ulterior motive to satiate me, to fulfill me, to suppress it, and look at the whole picture. You are not dying. You are under control. You are under supervision. You say, hey animal, don't go only to feed your stomach and below your stomach. Stay here. You have a responsibility. You have to take the job. That's not killing him. You are not supposed to kill your ego. As a matter of fact, you got to take care of your ego because, but you got to teach your ego how to work for you. How to do your job. How to do the work of your ruach. How to do the work of your soul. How to allow you to expand your vessel so you bring more and more and more and more love. Where this love comes from? What is this love when you accept responsibility? When you accept the responsibility of to do the mitzvot of the Torah and the work of the God and the way of God. Are you... Yes... You have the aga for God? Are you worrying for God? As soon as you worry for the work of God, then you're going to get love of God. But if you don't worry about God, you say, God, you know, you're too big. You don't want me to worry for you. No, don't worry for God. Worry for the work that God has given you. As soon as you worry for the work that He has given you, you feel His love.
What comes first? Worry or love?
Worry. No pain, no gain. Nothing comes for free. And if it comes for free, it's the devil work. Throw it away. Yes, please. Okay, we use the word worry in English not to worry myself sick. Not in a negative sense. What is your job? What is your job? What's your work? You are a professional student. Correct? Very good. No, that's... Why you guys look at this negative? It's very positive. As long as you don't continue it for... I am a professional student. I am. And I like to stay in it. Now, do you worry to get good mark? When do you become negative worry? Only you didn't do job, but your expectation is that you want to have A. But you know deep, deep, deep down in your heart, you didn't work enough. That means you didn't have daga. The moment that you have daga, you say, look, I want an A, and for this A, I gotta work. I gotta know my stuff. And I am going to know my stuff. And I'm going to take my time to go to the library. And I'm going to look at it at different angles. And I am going to really hammer it out till I have it in my fingers. Is that positive? And when you get your mark, and instead of you expected to get 85, you got 95, how do you feel? Do you feel all the pains that you put, the hours in the library, and all the da'agas that you have? What happens to all that da'aga? Total pleasure. Pure pleasure. This story that I told you is not a far-fetched. This story is applicable in every aspect of our life. As soon as you show that you have that energy, you will find your badzug. You will find your wife. You will find your husband. You will find your partner. You will find the work that is for you. But still there is an iota of jealousy and selfishness in you. If you think you know it all, if you think you are capable, if you think you have it all, if you think it's I, me, and myself, we are good partners together, you know, we can enjoy it. You're not going to go through the process. You're not going to make it. As soon as you avoid responsibility, you buy yourself tov v'ra mixed. You buy yourself problems. And then you say, well, God, I'm working so hard and I'm doing everything in my power. Why it doesn't work? Because you are battling the wrong battle. Now, the purpose of bringing this love, and that's the only thing that me and you will look for, isn't this to have this love that gives me confidence? If you have love, you lack confidence. How many of you haven't fallen in love yet? Oh, good. Good sign. Everybody knows then love, feeling of love is. You have a true love in your heart, you can move mountain. And that's what Jacob came to tell to the children. He says, gather. As soon as they gathered, and they said, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, that was the moment that Jacob said, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto, Leolam Vaed. He brought the Shefa, the energy, into this world. And he's telling us a very, very important thought. Life, as I said in the other class, and it's a very appropriate example, is like driving car. A good driver, he looks all the way to the where the eyes can see far, and then immediately comes, looks the front. Looks far, looks the front. Has a mirror, looks the back. Has a mirror, looks the side. Looks the left. And continuously rotates its eyes all the way to the front. Now what is all the way? Is that you look at the whole picture of your life. However you observe the moment. If you don't learn to observe the moment and you waste moments, you are wasting your life. If you say, okay, let's see, maybe tomorrow we'll do this, maybe tomorrow that, and you are not taking responsibility, observing the moment, you are missing your life. If you don't look in the back, that means you don't look at the simanim and the markers that your forefathers have left for you. If you don't learn from your past experiences, you bound to make a mistake. If I don't look in the back mirror and I change lane, what happens? Possibility of having an accident is very great. So you make sure you look in your back mirror. On top of it, you look your right and you look at the left. That's life. Life is driving a car. Now, Jacob comes and says the following to his children. Gather. And as soon as you gather, as soon as there is achdud, there is unification, there is a feeling of brotherhood between you guys, there is a shefa, there is an energy comes from above to below. As soon as there is no achdud in Israel, there is an energy force called Amalek. And I want you to remember, because we are going to work with this name. Achdud. Echad means one. Achdud means unification, unity, brotherhood. Brotherhood. What is brotherhood? It's when one doeg for another one. That's called achdud. If this energy force doesn't come and doesn't establish in the nation of Israel, there is an energy force that God has created in name of Amalek. Now what is this Amalek? Amalek called Safek. And what is Safek? Doubt. Now what is doubt? Totally being in what realm? Uncertainty. Of uncertainty, separation, darkness,
fear,
everything that is not good. Everything that is not good. That's the force of Amalek. And God has made a pact with the nation of Israel. Until such a time that there is no achdut in the nation of Israel. This is not only words. This is tremendous amount of daga. Right now, I come and say the following. You know, I have so many problems in my life. I have to worry from other Jews. They can take care of themselves. Who's going to take care of me? You know how many problems I have? You know how difficult my life is? And you want me to worry for other Jews? God created them, let God take care of them too. That's how we do. Look at ourselves. We are ready to sell our soul. For power, for money, for my pleasure, for my body pleasure. I'm ready to give up everything. And I'm not ready to let go anything. And I think I'm smart and I know it all. And Yaakov comes to say to the children, my friends, you're going to be in Galut. You're going to be 210 years in Egypt. Why Torah brought the story of Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim comes from Metzar, that means pressure, Yam, a sea of pressure. What is the sea? Sea represents a lot. Is your life, no matter where you are a student, you are a teacher, you are an engineer, you are a lawyer, you are a doctor, whatever you are, don't you feel the pressure? You are Ben Metzarim. You are pushed continuously. Now, when are you going to get out of it? And that's why Yaakov is teaching us how we can get out of this. Because the galut, that means when they went to a place that is not my place. Do we have the Eretz Israel? Is there a country called Eretz Israel? Yes? Am I the owner of it? Can I really go to where the Beit HaMikdash was, is take this dome, gold dome, take it, throw it away, and put the Beit HaMikdash again over there? Can I do it? What kind of an owner I am? Can I take my own property and do whatever I want in Israel? I can't. I'm not the owner. The whole world is looking at me. And the whole world just wants me, somehow wants Jews to vanish, go away. Don't you hear the president of Iran, what he says? I mean, they stand right in front of you and say, Holocaust, there is no such thing as Holocaust. You are a fool. You made it. So, the end of this book is teaching, and Yaakov's last word of him, this is his dying word, that there is only one way you get out of this Egypt of yourself. You will have Purim, you will have a Mashiach. It's to get rid of this doubt. As long as you carry this doubt, and what brings me doubt? Jealousy. Lack of having the aga, not having the aga, not having responsibility. I am looking day and night only to bring comfort zone for myself. I want to have a good life. I want to enjoy myself. And I am ready to become a slave to the credit card, to the car, to a good house, to a good clothes. I become a slave to it. And I work hard for it. I get rid of my health for its sake. All my life I work to save what? Really? Am I not working hard every day? For what? And Torah says, and Jacob says, look, you are going to go to foreign lands. You will have foreign knowledge. You will have opportunities that your eyes is going to fool you. There is one thing is going to, nation of Israel is going to save you, is if there is Achdut. And there is no doubt between you. Because as soon as there is no Achdut, there is Amalek. And we're going to learn about this Amalek. What a dangerous enemy of Israel is. Your failures in life, check it out. It's because of the doubts that you have embedded in your consciousness. All your failures beyond the shadow of doubt, is because of the doubt that you have embedded in your own consciousness. If you get rid of the doubt, your capability is by far extends that what you think you got. Because you have much more than what you think. But the doubt drags you down. It fails you. It takes the confidence away from you. And this Amalek comes when there is no Achdut. When as a Jew, I do not doeg for Judaism. I don't care for Judaism. I want to be a civilized nation rather than a Jewish nation. I feel ashamed to call myself a Jew. Don't forget, in the period of Hellenism, the Jews, they went and they did circumcision, invert circumcision. They put the skin back again. They sewed it again. Stitches. Just to say, look, I am like you guys. Bravo. Ask me the question. I got your question, but ask me the question, so maybe we put it together.
The word united means that we have, with all of us, as being in a brotherhood, we have to say the same, we have to have the same idea, or we can sing different.
Oh, no, different. We are different. All the Mazalot, the Capricorn is different than Aquarius, and Aquarius is different than Tishrei, which is months of Libra. They are all different. But they are all define a unity, define a body. Is your right and left hand different? Come back home.
So meaning by taking care of each other?
Is your left hand cares for your right hand? Honestly. When you have in your wrist pain, in your right hand, is the left hand, even though it's a lazy hand and wants to sit aside all the time, takes over? Yes, it does. If a muscle gets tired, if you're a runner or you exercise, one muscle gets tired, can you put the responsibility on another muscle and let the other muscle take a rest? Yes. There is achdut in your body. And you become one body. Because we realize that God created the body from 12 Shevatim, a body, a man, that is capable to take the totality of the spirituality of godliness, the Kedusha, and reveal it. And that embodiment is 12 Shevatim of Israel. Israel is responsible not only for the creation, but everything that is within the creation, that means 17 nations. We are responsible for everything in this world. We bring all the new invention. We have caused all the good. At least 60-70% of the Nobel Prize winners are the Jews. All the new ideas came by the Jews, and all the energies get injected in by the Jews.
The Gentiles said that not only the good, but all the bad comes because of the...
That is true too. Absolutely. Absolutely, you're right. That's why last week we discussed that a Jew has to work in order to make a good name for himself. Because God created four, how do you call it? Crowns. Four crowns. What were those four crowns? The first crown is crown of kingship. The kingship was given this crown to who? To Yehuda. Then is the crown of Torah. That crown of Torah was given to who? To Yosef. Then is the crown of Kohanut. To be Kohen is given to whom? To Aharon. All these Ketarim, all these crowns for purpose of what? One crown to put on my head, a good name. Shem Tov. To have a good name. Good name. Now, what constitutes a good name? A selfish person can come up with a good name? Don't worry, I am looking at you.
Right into the water.
Sometimes in Farsi there is a good example. When you pick up the stick, the cat runs. I'm no different. No, don't worry. How I know all these things? Because I see it in myself. I cannot explain it unless I have experienced it within myself. This is the race, this is the Jew. But the point is, as soon as you recognize what is your handicap, what is your pitfall, what is your problem, you solve it. Now, you ask me a question, how am I going to get rid of the doubt? If lack of unification brought me doubt, so by bringing unification, achdut, within me, I can get rid of the doubt. Now, how can I become united with whom? Okay. Now, prior God says, you want to have a trip to come and enjoy it with me, take your responsibility down there. You have a brother, you have a sister, you have a partner, you have a father, you have a mother, you have a family, you have a girlfriend, you have a boyfriend, you have whatever. Do you have any sense of responsibility? If you really want to love me, take your responsibility seriously and do them seriously and unite with your responsibilities. Accept the daga. Take care. Go out of your way. You know what? Once in a while, go up and give blood. Once in a while, go to the hospital and do a work that is not any return to you. Just because you're going to make heart of somebody else happy. Take your time and do something for someone else without expecting anything in return. That's called daga. You have those, you get rid of your doubt. You feel the strength of faith within you. You know for sure, no matter what you touch, anything is going to turn into gold. But if within yourself there is separation, within yourself, if there is jealousy within you, if there is no love, there is a lack of love, there is no daga, you don't sense responsibility. Oh yeah, I go every day to work. I work 12 hours a day. Is that going to qualify me? No. If I am going 12 hours to work in order to pay the mortgage and to pay for my car and to pay for my clothes because I want to look good, feel good, and be comfortable, that is all waste of time. That's necessary, but not sufficient. It's necessary. It's necessary to have good clothes. It's necessary to have comfortable life, but not sufficient. Because if I don't make it sufficient, I'm going to lose it. God is going to, at the beginning of your life, going to give everything to you. Everything you ask, is God going to give you. At the beginning of your age, till age of 40. And then he's going to take it out. He says, you think you know it all? You got it all? Let me see you do it again on your own. And that's how you come to realize that without God you cannot do it. Yes, please. Yeah, but you see, when somebody, you see death, it's like you're driving in the highway and you see a big accident and you see blood on the road and you see a lot of broken glasses and you see a dead body they put blanket on. Immediately after you see this picture, how are you going to drive? Very slow, very careful, you pay attention, you look the back and you look the side and you become good. You go about a half a mile. And what happens? Come on! You follow what I'm saying? This da'aga should not be phony. This da'aga should not be, hey God, you know, I'm doing the work. You see how much responsible I am and how much I care? Are you keeping the account at the end of the month? Just write the check. Fat check for me. That's not da'aga. That's making business. That guy is because I want to have a good name with God. Those people who have business, they know in business one thing is very important. It's to have a good name in business. What is a good name in business? Your word. You don't change your word. You're honest. You're sincere. They can depend on you. You write them a check, they take your check. You give them an IOU, they take your IOU because you have a good name. But if you don't have a good name, what system they're going to deal with you? COD. And before they take your $100, they look at it in the ear. Yes, please. Bravo. Oh, ask a question. Why did I say, and I was praying somebody comes and kicks me with this question. Why only Jacob found happiness and fulfillment of life in Galut, not in Eretz Israel, outside of Eretz Israel? Not with rich. He was rich in Eretz Israel. Why he found that? And when Jacob came, his son was king of the kings. And when they come, and when Pharaoh talked to Jacob and realized it was supposed to be 7 years of Ra'ev, 7 years of no food. As soon as Jacob came to Israel and united with Yosef, finished. It didn't go even full time, 7 years. So why Jacob had such a good time in such a bad place? Who can try to understand, answer it? Because he found his responsibility, what he's supposed to do. He was supposed to take the Jews, as God has talked to Abraham, to Egypt. He had to do it. As soon as he walked, what it was written, what was his responsibility? His comfort zone was where? There were 70 nations, 70 people. His grandchildren, great-grandchildren, he had 12 sons and all the children around him. He was in Eretz Israel. He had the most fantastic time to stay in Israel. And yet he didn't find the happiness there. He found the happiness in a foreign land because he went after his responsibility. As soon as you walked it, what it is written for you, what is your responsibility, as soon as you do what you are supposed to do, everything complies with you. Everything goes your way because the system is not to put wood between your will. No, the system is to help you to achieve your potential, your best. Then why God gave it? But you gotta find a way. And everything is depend of you changing. Stagnation, dilly-dallying, refusing to look, swapping the dirt under the carpet so nobody sees, pretending to live in the world of superficial, only brings you doubt and failure. But as soon as you are ready to put your effort and your work and get a control of your life, God says, I benefit you. But what was the purpose? We know that Jacob, and this is good for you slowly to know, I'm going to come back to you. It says, when Adam made the sin, God went to Adam and said, what did you do? Instead of Adam says, God, you know what? A spur of moment, I went crazy. This guy told me things. I made a mistake. God asked him, Aika, what happened to you? He said, you know what, God? This wife that you created for me, she's full of problems. She made me wet. Didn't take responsibility. And he wasn't right. You know, God made all his mistake on man and said, okay, now I know how to perfect it. Second round, he perfected it. Don't doubt it. Because I cannot create, but a woman can create. So a woman is by far more perfect than man. Let's close the subject right there. So our ego stays in the right place. I cannot do without them. I have problem with them. But the problem is part of being. If I don't have it, I am not a being. Only I am become a man. God, the Torah says, you are half, you are really something wrong with you if you are not married. You become whole when you are married. Simple.
Is it same thing for women?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Don't doubt it. Now, let's go back to the situation before I go. So Adam, God says, you know what? You're not worthy of staying in Gan Eden, get out of here. He throws him out. Adam comes out with his wife. Look at his wife. You know what? I had such a wonderful time in this Gan Eden. It was so fun. It was so many. Everything was there. You know, you really horrible woman. You, all my misery in my life. All the problem that I have. All, from the beginning you were a problem in my life. You know what? Forget it. Get lost. I'm going after my work. He felt a big man. He started looking around. He says, well, there are so many beautiful women around. Why should I stick with this woman? I'm going to have all the women in the world. And I'm not joking with you guys. This is straight from the Torah. He goes for 130 years, becomes Casanova. That's the truth. He found a way to satisfy his problem. His problem was in Gan Eden, and he had the heaven. Now he's out of heaven, he's going to get a different way. He's going to slip his way to death. Literally. So for 130 years, every sperm he had, he scattered it like the seed all over the world. Labriut. 130 years. We know that Abraham came to make the tikkun of nefesh of Adam. We know Yitzchak came to make a tikkun of the ruach of Adam. And we know that Jacob came to make the tikkun of neshama of Adam. And since Adam 130 years went have fun, Yaakov had 130 years of working hard. Miserable time for paying for 130 years that he went to La La Land. So don't think that I spend the time in discotheque, somebody's going to pay at the end the bill. Don't forget, whatever you eat at the end, they're going to give you the bill. Is nothing for free. So these 130 years... was the 130 years that he had to do the correction of the Adam. That's on the low, another different level. 17 years. Was the 17 years that he spent time, what age Yosef was sold? 17. 17 years Jacob took dearly, painfully to teach his son the Torah. And he knew what's the future of Yosef. He did not consider Jacob, he considered Yosef, and that's why he made him katonet pasim. Because of the effort that he put, 17 years to raise Yosef, God gave him 17 years of plentiful. That means, if you really want your children to love you, there is only one way your children will love you, is when you spend and you really cancel your own pleasure for sake of the children to become, to teach your children. When you spend time and you teach your child as a mother and a father, because of the effort and the time that you sacrifice in order to teach, you get reward. That's the ultimate cancellation love. That's the love of father and mother to a child. And you don't expect anything from your child, really. You know that one day they're going to, whatever, get married and go away. Oh, once in a while they call long distance. How are you? You are good. Okay. I love you. Work at the bank. I know the fact. But yet, that's my responsibility. I take it. I take it and I do it willingly. That's every father, every son. Now, you want to get married, except that you want to be a father. Because to be a father or to be a mother is a mitzvah. And as soon as you accept to do the mitzvah, God will do, turn the whole world. But it's not going to God. He says, God, you know what? It's fun to be a mother and a father. I want to be father and mother. It's not going to cut it. But as soon as you're ready to take the responsibility and you show that you are ready to take the responsibility, and what you need, you're going to get. If it doesn't go, that means something is not correct yet. Some cases, some people, without saying A, B, C, they get married. No problem. Somehow, something is put right in front of them. What? They did the work? Did they really do the work? Yes. Not necessarily in this life. They have earned it already. Whatever you earn in all your lifetime is there to support you. That's why we go back and forth, back and forth. You earned it, you learned it, it's already part of your property. It's yours. It's going to come every lifetime to help you. What you haven't learned, every lifetime comes with an interest for you to pay. And there is an interest to it. It's not nothing. Nothing moves without accumulating payment. That's life. Don't you, once you fill up the bucket, you don't fill up the bucket of the car. You have to go again, pay, and fill up the bucket again. Same thing, life. And that's why the Rebbe comes very specifically for this parasha. It comes, and I would like to read it for you, how he, the Rebbe from the Chabad, it explains very beautifully. End of days is not fixed time. It's not a matter of that it's going to be such and such a date and it's going to be the end. But a deadline. There is a deadline. And it's very interesting to use the word dead. Because there is going to be a day that there should not be any more death. There should be eternity. So Rebbe says, a point in time that marks the latest possible date for the redemption, which can be achieved earlier through positive deeds of man. Now, it says, Ketz Yamim, the Torah. Ketz means interruption. End. Ketz means end. Ketz is Kuf Tzadik. 190. Ketz. I didn't get yet to go through this. Ketz is Kuf Tzadik. Is equal to 190. Chava is 100. Is 19. 10 times Chava is 190. What that means. What it says. If there was not Chava, man, Adam could not have continuity. There must be a Chava. And what is Chava? Fulfillment of the Adam. Adam has to go through the fulfillment. But this fulfillment, this redemption, comes two ways. Either it comes with the cats, that means with tremendous amount of hardship, or it comes, you come to a deadline with comfort, with ease. When you get exam in your studies, do you get deadlines? Yes? How many ways can you get to the deadline? Really, two ways. One is to postpone work, to postpone thinking about it, worrying about it. Okay, tomorrow, maybe tonight, or maybe tomorrow, or maybe next day. That's life. And when it gets very close to deadline, I just do a wishy-washy job, and most probably it's not a good job, and I painfully go through the deadline. But there is another way to make the deadline. And we call that another way, teshuva. That means instead of me getting battered and beaten up in order to see the reality, I check myself and I go through myself and I make and find and recognize what are my lacks, what are my problems, and I correct it. I fix it. So when I reach the deadline, I have what? Everything ready, well thought about, spend time, and everything is organized. No problem. Project was made amicably. So is life. If you observe the moment and you accept that every moment in your life is dear and is important, you take yourself seriously and your life seriously, and you don't think that, yeah, I am 20 years old, 24 years old, 26, 30 years old. Come on, I have a lot of time. You have not learned to appreciate the moments. You wake up one day and you say, oh my God, what happened to my life? What did I do? That's when you miss the deadline. Don't miss the deadline. Rebbe says very simply, observe the moment of your life. Every moment has a purpose and has a goal and has a reason to give you power to build. There's no moment if you're in your life that is not worthy of 100% attention. And that attention comes in the form of Daga, that means accepting responsibility. Now, my dear friend, ask me the question, if you still remember. Well, I can continue. Yes?
I wanted to know if there's the freedom of choice thing based on good and bad not being made.
Very good. Very good. Very good question. Now, let's first understand. Where can I exercise my free will? What is to exercise free will?
To choose
between what?
Good and bad.
What is constitutes good? What constitutes bad? Is it relative?
I'm not crystal clear on the definition.
Very good. Now, let's understand the following. If I say I really like, I feel that I need $100 million, do I have a desire for $100 million or lack of $100 million?
But for the most part, it's probably the lack of it.
The lack of it. But I really don't have the will to make $100 million. Because what I am missing here is the will. Because if I had the will of making $100 million, I would have made $100 million. But if I say, yeah, you know what? It would be very nice if tomorrow I can get $100 million. I feel the lack of it. I feel that it's good, but I don't have the will to make it. Now, here I don't have no free will. No exercise of free will. Now, here comes, I have the will, and I can make it. Now I have the possibility of making, exercise my free will. That means when I have actually the capability and the willpower to do something, actually have to do it, that's the only way I can exercise, to exercise my free will. Now, why God gave us free will to the Jews? Because the free will is not given to everybody. His animal has a free will? It works with what? Instinct. 99% of the people in the world, they work with instinct. They don't exercise free will. 99%. And more. Because we go with our instinct. We don't see that the will to reach to the, to build it up to the point that I am capable to do it. When I am capable to do it, then I have a choice to do it or not to do it. To be or not to be. That's the question. Now, it comes, he says, okay, if I do it, the free will is given for the following reason. If I do it, is it going to bring me closer to the truth or take me away from the truth? The only reason the creation has given you and me free will is to exercise it this way. But what do I use this minute free will that God has given me? I don't have enough free will even to control the digestion in my stomach. I don't have even a control to stop my thoughts. I am not even in control to say what kind of a thought to come to my mind. What is free will I have? But if I take my thoughts, I take what it is in my heart, in my guts, and I become determined to do it, and I am ready, and I am willing, and I am capable, then I stop. That's the restriction. That's the moment I can exercise my free will. Every time in this system you exercise your free will correctly, your willpower increases. Every time that you give in to your bad side, because now good and bad is within you, your willpower becomes weaker, replaced with doubt. Replaced with separation and darkness. Replaced with sometimes you say, oh, I don't feel like it. You become down. You want to give up. You know what? Let me go to sleep. When do we want to go to sleep? Oh, you know, no, I'm not tired. But you know what? Leave me alone. I want to go to bed. That means I give up. I don't want to face the world anymore. I want to go to sleep, and I am hoping when I get up out of the sleep, everything is different. That's how much of a fool I am. That's swapping it under the floor, under the carpet, so nobody sees the dirt. That's not going to make it. But as soon as I come to the point, say, I am capable to do it. I'm capable to make it. But you know what? A small lie will get me to the conclusion, 1, 2, 3. Now I have a choice. I can lie. And you know what? If I lie, I'm going to have it. Nobody will know it. It's only one small lie. It's a white lie. As long as I get to the purpose, I mean, my intentions are good intentions. You abused your free will. Because your free will tells you that giving you the free will, we said what? To bring you closer to the truth. Not to separate you from the truth. If there is a lie, if there is a selfishness, if desire to receive for oneself alone is there, you are separating yourself from the truth. You are abusing the power that God has given you. And that causes separation, breaks, that causes Amalek to come in, that causes lack of unification. Takes you away from the light. Now, we finished, I believe, the Tevet, Capricorn. Next week we start, and my outlook is really to prepare yourself. Purim is the moment that we get rid of the Amalek. That's when we bring Mashiach for ourselves. That means a consciousness that I have a brain that separates. Mashiach is the word Yesh Moach. That means I reach a consciousness that I can use my totality of brain, not only 4 or 5% of it. we are only using 5% of our brain. The Purim is when I take all the doubts, all the darkness in my brain, and I cleanse it, and I know that my free will is only get close to the creation, and that is consciousness of Mashiach. Our 3 months, which is going to be the Capricorn finished, Aquarius, we start from next week, Bezrat Hashem, and then we have the Adar, and in the process we understand what the word Puri means, why the Purim will stay, Hanukkah will stay, and all the other Mo'adim will be vanished, will be finished. That's the time of the Mashiach. By the way, individuals bring the Mashiach, and when individuals were successful to bring the Mashiach, then the totality will reach the consciousness of Mashiach. With that word, I wish you a good life, healthy life, wealthy life, and happy life. Shalom, everybody. Shalom.